What's up, everybody? Welcome into another edition of the Sean Salisbury Show here on Friday as we record this. Got a bunch to talk about in the NFL. Crazy game last night. The Raiders continue to be a disappointment. I want to hit Ask Sean one MLB question at the end of the show, and we'll get back to college football as we get closer to some of the bigger bowl games. And I don't care about the 41st and 42nd and 43rd bowl game. I don't even know how many there are anymore, but I don't even care to watch until, honestly, either the college football playoff on the 31st or the New Year's Six bowl games. And before that, I don't care about those bowls anymore.
Right. It's unless just, you're Segs, unless you're like go to the school.
Yeah.
And even some of them may not care those games. While it's fun for the kid to get the swag bag and go play another game and, you know, their watch and ring and all the fun things and have a great week wherever they go, stadiums won't be full. They'll be fairly empty for the most part. And it's the alumni of the school and fans and friends will go to it. But I'm with you. If there's nothing else on, you turn it on, but I don't watch it that intently. Unless there's some NFL prospect, I want to see if he's actually still playing. But
yeah, other than exactly. That's what I was just going to say. A lot of the NFL prospects, they like Will Levis. He's their running back at Kentucky. Neither of them are playing because they're going to go get ready for the NFL draft. And we're going to see a lot of that over the next week or so of players opting out and just saying, I'm going to go get ready for the draft. We've seen a handful already. But as always, before we get to the NFL, we're brought to you by Bet Online.
Yeah, we sure are. And basketball is back among all the other sports, with Bet Online remains your number one source for all your sports betting needs this season. You'll always find the latest odds, team matchups, the information, the player news, and game trends at BetOnline. And as your continued source for all sports wagering information, BetOnline features live betting, free contests, and giveaways all season long. And the fastest and easiest way always to bet your favorite sports and events, whether it's the NFL or NBA, NHL, MMA, tennis, boxing, or even golf. Head to betonline.ag to join and receive your 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Make sure to use promo code BELIEVE, that's BLEAV, BELIEVE, to receive your rewards. Bet Online, where the game starts.
As always, thank you to Bet Online. Speaking of betting, Sean, I just saw this right before we came on here. This is from Darren Rovell on Twitter. A bettor at one of the sports books, I don't have the tweet exactly in front of me, he bet $1,300 when Argentina was up 2-0 over Netherlands. Netherlands scores two goals. So he's, you know, he's shitting his pants because he's thinking, oh, I got some easy money. Argentina is not going to blow a 2-0 lead. Well, they do. They end up going to penalty kicks. Luckily for him, Argentina wins. Sean, he won $52. He put $1,300 down to win $52 in Argentina versus the Netherlands soccer. I mean, this is why Vegas and these sports book and everybody makes so much money, because of idiots like these guys. I get, hey, if you can afford it and you're putting $500,000 down to win $132,000 or whatever it is, but putting $1,300 down to win $52 tells me you don't have a lot of money to be betting, and that's just a stupid ass bet.
So even if I win, I'm running away saying, man, I made $52, but I risked $1,300. Yes. Come on, man. That's that, you know what that's called? That's an amateur hour bet. That's exactly right. Hey, man, you bet $1,300. What's the payout? $56, $52. Yeah. What? Dude, we could have played a hand of blackjack ourselves.
Yes.
And bet $50 without all the risk.
Just listen, go put it on red roulette. Yes. Something.
Are you kidding me? Good gracious. Stupidity. Take $25 and bet three team parlay and you can make $300. I mean, ridiculous. Or $50 for a $300 parlay, a winner on three teams. It's crazy. No, that risk reward doesn't sit well with me, brother.
Hey, that's why Vegas and all those people are rich, because of dumbasses like that.
Yeah, that's why they keep building hotels with air conditioning casinos. That's why. Right. Guys like that. No doubt.
Exactly. Sean, last night, Thursday night football, awful football game. I mean, it was terrible all the way around. Vegas comes out, scores an opening touchdown, and you're thinking, okay, maybe the Raiders are figuring something out. 1-3 of their last four heading into last night. The offense had actually looked like they were capable of putting up some points and playing consistently on that side of the ball. And then everything just fell apart last night against the Rams. And then the Rams scored two touchdowns in the final, well, I guess it was 12 minutes, but they scored the touchdowns in the final 4 minutes of the game to win 17-16, including Baker Mayfield's 98-yard touchdown drive with a minute. What was it? He did it in a minute 35 seconds. I think there's a minute 45 left in the game when that drive started. I don't know what to make of Baker Mayfield walking in 2 days prior and winning a football game with a brand new team and a system that he does not know, or are in the Raiders. We all thought this was a guaranteed playoff team basically heading into this season, and they're putrid. I don't know what to make of either team right now.
And that's even after three wins in a row where you thought maybe they're starting to look a little decent. Carr did not play well. You know, Jacobs got his, 99 yards. He's been the guy that's kind of glued him together at least to keep him rolling. But, you know, you're playing soft on the final drive, and then you decide to play press cover one, safety in the middle of the field. So you take the read out of it for Baker Mayfield, just make a throw. Now it's a great throw, but you take the read out of it. Makes it too easy, your guy versus their guy, instead of giving him some confusion, trying to force him to throw a ball after 2 days preparation. Now, listen, it's obvious when people say, man, to learn the playbook, he didn't learn the playbook. There is certain verbiage and certain stuff that he learned to get him in and out of the huddle. And the truth of the matter is, it looked to me like he was having some fun and relaxed and playing like, well, you know what? I'm not going to overthink this, because you overthink it when you put a whole week in and you're preparing for it. It's like, what do I got to lose, man? I'm on my third team in a year. I'm trying to refine my career. I'm with a coach who loves the way I play. Mm-hmm. Give me these certain plays and then just play off it and do what you do. And that's what it was last night. And Sags, it's obvious. Think about this now. Baker Mayfield, less than 48 hours, basically, in a game plan to get ready and win on national TV. Jeff Saturday, 3 days to get ready. He beat the Raiders as well. Both of those guys beat the Raiders in their first go-round on their new teams with minimal experience. So I guess if you want to beat the Raiders, have very little preparation put in, and then you'll take care of them.
Prep. Just show up and play. I mean, it's just pathetic from Vegas.
It absolutely is, and I do not want to hear, well, it's Josh McDaniel's first year, because I can give you all the reasons around the league that it's Mike McDaniel sure looks like he's adjusted his first year. Some guys just can't handle being the leadership and the head coach. I thought they were on to something. But see what will happen. They're the epitome of Dow Jones, like their quarterback. They take on the personality. He may go throw for 400 next week and they'll win. That's who they are. So they're not a playoff team. They're not good enough to do it. And to allow a 98-yard drive against a two-day quarterback preparation and to let him kind of do the things he wants and then to say, I'm going to put a safety in the middle field, play man, and let's see if we can stop. You deserve to lose.
Yeah.
You did. They earned the loss.
Do you think the Raiders should be a team? And we'll talk more about this as we get, you know, closer to the draft and in the offseason stuff. But sitting right now, the way that he's played and everything and the way things gone with Josh McDaniels, is Derek Carr your quarterback going forward, or are you looking to maybe see if someone will give you a second or a third rounder for him and, you know, maybe take it and mortgage some of your future and go get a CJ Stroud or a Bryce Young if he should fall, or someone else in the draft?
Thanks. I think he's going to be one of the most talked about movement guys the offseason, because now I don't know what goes on in those meeting rooms, but there comes a point in time when if you can't get him over the hump, as good as Carr can be, there's times when it's like as bad as he can be as well, is you'll come to a point. And remember, this team didn't draft him and this coach wasn't part of it. They inherited him. So if it turns out they keep up and down, if you're Josh McDaniels and you get an offer you can't refuse and you think he's hit the ceiling on, he's not going to take us to where we want to go, and you need to start fixing your career as a head coach, I believe they're going to shop him. I do. And I believe they'll be takers because he's a good player. But I don't think that the evaluation for Derek Carr with the Raiders is over yet in that town and in that city and in that building.
Would you consider Derek Carr and this situation there in Vegas very similar to Matt Stafford in Detroit? Whereas just like, we're never going anywhere with this guy. He's really good and we think he can win. But you know what? It's probably not going to be here. Let's get something for him and move him on and then go from there.
And then in the process, and think about that trait. Goff's playing really good football.
Mm-hmm.
They got him, but I mean, he's really starting. He can spin it and rip it around the lot. Yeah. He's kind of, they're starting to feel it when everybody thought, well, he's no answer. Maybe, just maybe, that they found a little something. Sometimes a change of coach or scenery or venue is good. And you know what? Derek Carr could end up in Tennessee. I'm just throwing. I'm just for the hell of it, and take them to the. I mean, be he could have the same success that Matt Stafford have if he goes to a good team. I don't think Carr's a hack by any stretch of the imagination. I think he's a good player. The question is, can he beat the great players on a regular basis when necessary? That's the question you have to ask. And it's proof. And that answer right now is no. You can beat him sometimes, but most of the time, the great quarterbacks win. Most of the time they do. So we've seen a lot of evidence. Now, I know it's a new year with this coach, but now if they want to run it back, fine. Carr can get you certain places. They're not winning a Super Bowl with their current layout. That's what I'll tell you.
Yeah. Moving on, looking at the rest of this weekend, we'll start here. Jets at Bills. This is a big game in the AFC East. This will basically take any threat of the Jets being a division contender there in the East away if they lose this game, and they're a 10-point dog in Buffalo. How do you think the Bills are going to come into this game knowing Von Miller's now out for the year? And it's a division game and a team you've already lost to.
I think they're going to try to be relentless in their front seven. So you don't make a backup quarterback who can throw it look like a prime starter. And however that is, you may pressure and play zone behind it. I would imagine the complex looks. I would imagine they're going to try to go relentless in the front seven and play fast on offense and attack them because you can distance yourself. I don't think this is a Jets team that's going to go score 35 points against the Bills. I know the Bills can score four touchdowns and a field goal against anybody. So I would think that, you know, that the Jets are going to try to shorten the game, but they're going to have, it'll get to the point. You don't want to, if you throw it 57 times, you're going to have your ass kicked like they did with Mike White, right? You know what I'm saying? You do it that way, there'll be balls on the ground. Good player, but Buffalo, I think it's a touchdown and a field goal. I love it. That's about where I'd have it, 9 to 10 points. I think Buffalo wins the game. The Jets are improving. They're not Buffalo yet. Buffalo wins, especially since Buffalo knows what's on the line with home field advantage and or winning their division. And Miami's right there on their tail. They know that.
Yeah, speaking of Miami, they have to travel across the country again. Just got done with the 49ers in San Francisco. Now they got to go to L.A. and take on the Chargers. They're coming off that loss to the 49ers where they felt like, I think they felt like they played solid, but they know they could have been much better and probably actually won that game. What do you expect from the Dolphins going in? And then the Chargers, they're just the same Chargers we know every single year. They're always right there, but we never know how good they are. And Justin Herbert's good, but he hasn't taken that step to what I think everybody thought he was going to this year, where he's like, oh my God, he's up there with Burrow and all them. He hasn't done that yet this year, in my opinion. What do you think of this game?
A couple of young minds matching wits, right? McDaniel and Staley, right? One on one side, one on the other from the same tree, one from the Rams and the other from the 49ers. I think that the Dolphins rebound on this. Now, I don't know if they're going to win the game, but they if they don't turn it over, and I think Mike McDaniel is going to apply pressure and play really, really aggressive. I do. I'll say this, Eggs, if the Chargers have a chance to win and they lose this game, I think Brandon Staley's job's in danger. It may already be. Mm-hmm. I think if it's a loss where you say we gave it away, which we've seen a few times happen, it could be some issues. I think you're going to see McDaniel get those guys in space. I expect a rebound. It's tough to travel cross country. They've did it last week to go all the way to, then they go home, right? Come all the way. Yep. I don't think they stayed in San Diego.
I don't think practice. So. I haven't seen that.
In Los Angeles. I don't know if they did, but all the way back, get your home cooking and get back on a plane and fly. Tough. But I think they feel like they let one get away last week, especially with a backup quarterback coming in and playing. I would expect you'd see more, but Herbert's capable of carrying them through the game. I like the Dolphins. I think if I was betting, I'd take the Dolphins, whatever the spread is. I'd take the Dolphins on there. I think they're 1.5 point favorites. I think
last I saw today was -3 Dolphins. Dolphins were favored by 3.
So this morning on my, then it's gone up. I like the Dolphins. I don't trust the Chargers. I trust the Dolphins more.
Yeah.
Protect two and get the ball out. I would expect Mike McDaniel to play aggressive on their travel and say, we're coming home from the West Coast with this win. And I have the Chargers in the playoffs, but I think you're going to hear louder whispers if they let one get away in their home stadium.
Yeah. And then finally in the NFL, Browns at Bengals. Do you think the Bengals are starting to kind of, I mean, they've been flexing them, but do you think they're starting to hit that peak where they're 6-1 in their last 7? Joe Burrow now gets Jamar Chase back last week, and he just kind of fits right back in. T. Higgins has been outstanding while Jamar Chase has been out. And the defense has played pretty good. You know, they could be better. They're still the same team from last year, I feel like. We're still, can they protect Burrow enough, and can they get stops on defense? But they're doing both pretty well right now over this stretch. But their one loss was to this Browns team, but it was with Jacoby Brissett, not Deshaun Watson. So what do you think of this game?
You know what, Segs? I think aside from the two obvious talk, the teams we always, Buffalo and Kansas City, Buffalo, right? I think they're the most dangerous team in the AFC. And I feel good about Miami, but while I think two is great, there's, I think that you can take the Bengals. P. Ryan's a monster as a number two. Yeah. He played great last week. And when you get Mixon back on the field, you tell me they're not as complete in offense as there is in the entire league. They have. I mean, they got more weapons than Kansas City does. Sakes.
Yeah. Oh yeah. No, for sure.
They got more weapons than Buffalo does. Honest to God, they do. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know that the tie end guy on those teams, Kelsey and Diggs, but Chase is right.
They
with
compare.
Those guys.
Yeah.
That's right, and they're deeper, and they got a quarterback. Sakes, every time the end of the year hits, this dude just starts to light it up. I mean, he plays good all year, but he immerses. I mean, he's now throwing himself right back into the MVP talk. I think the Bengals are the most dangerous team in the AFC, not named the Chiefs and the Bills. And I give Miami a lot of credit. And I would say that not only about in the AFC, but of the teams we're not talking about, the Bengals are the outlier that could go win the whole damn thing. Keep your quarterback upright, and they can play with anybody because they know how to beat good teams. They know how to beat good teams. I think they're dangerous, and I think they're going to win the division. I think they're going to be a tough out in the postseason.
Yeah, I mean, speaking of, you mentioned those four teams, the Bills, the Chiefs, the Bengals, and the Dolphins. Those four are the four best in the AFC for sure, in my opinion. But, I mean, you could argue they're the four top teams in the NFL. I know the Eagles are good, and they'd probably be stuck in between there somewhere. But everybody else in the NFC, San Francisco would be close. Dallas, I know I had them higher than San Francisco a couple weeks ago, but they still worry me a tiny bit. Dallas does. So those four teams in the AFC, you could argue are the four best teams in football.
And Segs, I honestly, when you talk about the eight best teams in a league, just the top eight, I am comfortable in saying that four of those teams, and I think we mentioned it before, four of the top eight teams that I have in the top eight are ending up in the AFC-NFC championship game. That's how I feel.
Yeah.
Cowboys, Eagles, 49ers, Vikings, right? Is that how you're going to NFC?
Yeah, those would be my four in the NFC.
And you mentioned the four in the AFC. I don't have anybody else. Now, teams like the Chargers or Ravens that they hang around, sneak in and steal a game or win a game. I'm just telling you, for me, you can take two teams out of both of those, eliminate two. Of the teams in the NFC-AFC championship game, I'm willing to bet that four of those eight are going, and it won't be anybody outside the eight. That's how I feel right now.
If there was one team, and this is mainly because I look at the Vikings, and they're a team I still don't trust. They're kind of like the Chargers to me, with just a much better record this year, playing in a bad NFC North, is the Bucs. You know, it just
exactly.
You know, that would be the only team that, you know, and
now, Segs, I'll say this. If they get going, let's say they go in and beat San Francisco this week, Tampa Bay, and I picked them to go to the Super Bowl again at the beginning of the season because I loved their roster and the offensive line. Let's just say they get in there with a little bit of moxie. Oh, there is no question that put it this way. Okay, who are you picking in January? Vikings against Tampa. Who are you picking?
Bucks.
Philadelphia against Tampa. Close, right?
Yeah, that'd be a really – yes, because we're talking playoff Bucks. We're not talking regular season.
Yes, I'm talking about single elimination. The shit is on the line. Cowboys, Bucks. You're thinking – agreed. The Cowboys better defense. Well, that's not true. When the Buccaneers are playing right, they've got good players. They got the big game record in Micah Parsons, so similar. And then you, the 49ers, no offense, I love their defense, and we'll see it this week. But in playoffs, are you taking Brock Purdy or Tom Brady?
Right, exactly. You can't. So you can't take Brock Purdy.
Point is, if when they get in, and they're going to get in even if it was by default, the truth is, You would not be shocked if they were playing to get to the NFC Championship game. You're exactly 100% correct. No doubt.
Yeah, it's definitely – that's the most interesting team come playoff time. That's the team you don't want to face. You don't want to
I think it's the Bengals and the Buccaneers. Those are the two teams you don't want to face in January. 100%.
Exactly. Yep. So we'll see how that all shakes out. You got just a few more minutes here. Let's jump to the Major League Baseball, Sean. We've got some monster moves, a lot of money being spent. What's your favorite move so far?
Well, I'd say the one the Red Sox were going to make and haven't.
Kenley Jansen do anything for you?
Yeah, it does. If I get Kenley Jansen, when Kenley Jansen's not giving me anxiety, if you're a Dodger fan, right? But I felt that with Kimbrel.
And they
won,
signed
right?
Yoshida, the guy from Japan.
Kenley pitched really well for Atlanta. So yeah, it's a good get. I mean, the guy's a good player. You saying the one my favorite or the best one?
Yeah, your favorite. Which one?
The ability for I think the Padres getting Bogarts after all the money you've paid out and you still were able to pay that guy, they're dangerous. They are from the trade deadline of this summer to now that with Hader and then they're going to get Tatis back. They're nasty, man. My favorite one, I love your guy Abreu if he's the MVP Abreu for the Astros.
Yeah.
Because Yuli at 39, I mean, a little more consistent. Yeah, exactly. I mean, and I don't think so either. But if you at least get him in between good and MVP and good where he's 90 RBIs and 25 home runs.
Yeah, I was talking with a buddy about that move who's also a White Sox fan. And we kind of looked at that team and we said he's going to replace and become the Michael Brantley. I don't see him coming back and hitting 30 plus home runs. He'll hit you 15 to 25 and, you know, with a little more power than Brantley,
right.
But you know, he's playing first base. So
the Astros lineup, it's probably, and he'll be hitting in the six hole. Pretty efficient. I mean, that's not bad for a six hole guy. Well, Tucker will be hitting right in front of him. Right.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say probably, I know it's underrated, but watching, and I don't know what it's going to mean in the big impact of things. But a healthy DeGrom with Bruce Bochy is impressive to me.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a really, really good get. You know, I mentioned Bogarts. I love the fact that Aaron Judge, who I'm a big fan of, the fact that the Yankees were able to keep him in-house. Now, if the Yankees pull off Correa, if they were to jump in and get him, or the Mets with Verlander, because the Mets aren't going, but if it was somebody like that, you get my point, and pull that off, I can't, and I don't know if it's dwindling for Correa or not, but every time he keeps coming, he may end up back in Minnesota. Hell, I don't know. But I guess the DeGrom, Verlander, the Cy Young, I'm trying to think of an everyday player that I was like, I think the Padres won so far. I mean, the Padres getting Bogarts, but am I missing one, Segs? I'm sitting here trying to go over the football. Who am I missing?
The one that I had.
Turner's a good get for the Phillies.
That's my favorite move.
Yeah.
Have that lineup set. You're going to be missing Harper for a little bit. He can come in, and him and Schwarber can carry that along with Castellanos and all the young players on that lineup.
I think a full year of Castellanos out there as well. You know what I'm saying? With another year in his year two, I think he's going to be a spring training. He'll be better. He'll be closer to Reds Castellanos at the plate. And that's why the biggest one, 11 years at Turner. I think that what they've done, they've improved. They got, for a World Series team, they got better. They added a guy who can hit for power, who can hit for average, that's the best get, because the truth of the matter is, as much as I like Bogarts, and they upgraded because of the personnel around him, both of them got great personnel. This was a definite need for Philadelphia and for, you know how bad he wants to be there because he turned down more money.
Yeah.
So this is a good one. That's the one that sits at the top. And then we'll see where Correa ends up, if he ends up going with where some other big free agent went. But Padres upgraded. The Philadelphia Phillies made themselves even better by getting Trey Turner, and he wants to play there. So that's a good gig. That's a powerful lineup.
It feels like for Correa, it's going to be, to me, it's either going to be the Twins, the Giants, because they're trying to give money away and no one's taking it yet. And then the Cubs. I still think the Cubs are a dark horse. I don't know what they're doing. They've kind of talked out of both sides of their mouth this offseason. So I think they're a dangerous team that could jump in there and offer him $350 million.
I've been thinking Giants for a while now because they didn't get their big prize. But this is a pretty big prize, too. They need a bell cow face of the organization who can do it. He'd be big there. just if you want to do it, make him an offer. He can, but you know he wants more money than Trey Turner Seggs. You know that. And he wants that. He wants the 9 to 10 years and that kind of money. And the Giant, they can pay it. The question is, do you want to? And but you're right. And if the Red Sox losing Bogarts crept in and tried to, I don't know if they're going to, but the Giants and the Twins feel to me, with the Cubs as the outlier, the Giants have always felt like they're a team that needs to be in the fray.
Yeah, we'll talk about that when that happens. The other big name still on the market is Carlos Rodon, the starter.
Right.
He's kind of the last big name starting pitcher available.
Real
so we'll
quick,
see
Seggs,
where
he
ended.
Rumored to from your end in Chicago?
You know, he's been quiet. I think he's got that qualifying offer attached. And, you
that's
know,
right.
When you're a pitcher, it always hurts you. It always hurts you, especially
that's
a guy
why
that's
slow movement on him
had
for
injuries,
it, right?
You know, in the past. And but he's been awesome the last two seasons. And he's wanting 6 to 7 years and 30 plus million a year. Rightfully so. I mean, he's pitched that way for the last 2 years and, you know, he deserves it.
Yeah, and he can pump it up there too. You're right. And
yeah, he's
the qualifying offer is preventing him from a lot of, because in truth, if it wasn't, he'd have been that. It'd have been the DeGrom, Verlander, him. You would have thrown three or four guys into the gotta have, must have.
Yeah,
category.
He would have been the top starter on the market just based on age, where he's at only 29, I believe, and you know the stuff he has in the future.
And
he
probably
has.
length of years too.
Yes,
Seggs, because of his
right.
age. Right.
Yeah, for sure.
No
so
doubt.
We'll talk about that when that happens, and we'll recap the NFL. A lot of good games this weekend. But as always, thank you to Bet Online, and we'll talk to you guys next week. See you.
It's great talking to you, brother. Have a great weekend. It's always good to be with you on a Friday, man.